Nutty Buddies, and how am I going to compete with that? I mean, come on. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going part two tonight. It's so quiet in here. So quiet. Oh. I'm not used to quiet around my house. In fact, when it is quiet, then my aunt Tanners are like, something's wrong, right? In my house with all these little people. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, I was back there, and we're talking about blessings of walking in faith. And, you know, I was just thinking about, or sitting back there, how much of a miracle we are. I was just thinking about, you know, I was kind of thinking about, and I know it's kind of odd, I was thinking about the movie Saving Private Ryan, and the whole premise about Saving Private Ryan is there's a mother that had five boys, and four of them, they all went to World War II. They were all fighting in World War II. Four of them got killed, and the Department of Defense, this lady, this is a true story, got these, and she started doing some matching and found out that this mother was going to receive four letters saying that she lost four of her sons, and there was, again, Saving Private Ryan. They were going to get Private Ryan to pull him out so that the mother would have at least one son left. And I was thinking about that kind of back there. You know, we think about things, we take things for granted. You know, with my ancestors, I've had, my ancestors were one of the first to settle Virginia. And when Civil War broke out, they left. We had some of my family that came to Iowa and kind of the Midwest. Some stayed there. They fought in the South, other with the North. And then later I had ancestors, my great uncle, he was in World War I. My grandfather, Adrian's grandfather, he got shot down in World War II. And you think about, and I had an uncle that was a tank commander in Europe. He got blown up by Germans in a tank, still lived. My grandfather was 3 years in North Africa under Patton. And, I mean, it's a miracle I'm here. All I'm saying, you know, I mean, there could have been a chance that I may not have been here. Right? Or you may not have been here, right? How many of those, you know, young guys or you know, the service people that they didn't make it back home? You know, and they didn't have families, and they didn't, a lot of these things didn't happen. And you think about your life, you are a miracle. You literally are a miracle. Because, I mean, statistically speaking, there's just so much that could have gone wrong were you not being here. You know? And the world and science wants to say, well, you know, because this happened. No, it's by the grace of God that we're here, right? There could have been anything that have kind of eliminated that. And so we are, if you think about it, you are a working miracle. Still, science doesn't understand life, right? They can talk all day long about the body, how the body functions, you know, this and that, and then they trace us back. We are actually come from dirt. So really, we're all dirt bags, right? I mean, right? No, you're not. I am. But yeah. So we all originate from dirt, from the earth, right? And we saw that in Genesis. But how can science put emotions in a test tube, right? How can they put love into a test tube? How can they have, you know, anger? How can they do all of these things? What is, again, it's all supernatural. It's God's innate ability in us, his nature in us. We say there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28, and it says that he made man in what? He says, let us make man in our image, right? So that means there are things in us that you cannot put in a test tube. You cannot test things, right? I mean, let's just admit it. Psychology is not a defined science. Right? I mean, you can't, there is not A equals B equals C, is because everything is still subjective. Because why? You can't put things. I mean, I can take my skin, we can look it under a microscope, we can do these things, but when you're talking about the heart and the spirit and the emotions and all these other things, it's still, one of my friends that, he's a brilliant man, he went to Iowa State up here, doctorate, he's got his doctorate in psychology, and he's talked with pastors and things like that too, and he's even like, it's not a defined science. It's still, we can't, it's hard to explain, but we can't nail down certain things, right? You cannot, when we get in the metaphysical realm, which means it's beyond the physical, right? In our emotions and the spirit realm, how can you define those things? The only way we can define it is through the Word of God. Because the person who put us together, who designed us from head to toe, it's not mechanical. We don't go to work, we get up, we do this. We are more than just tasks. We are an intricate being with emotions, needs, everything else, right? And so we look at things, we are a miracle. And like I've said it before, if you're sitting here tonight, you are a miracle. Because no matter where you're at, if you get to the point where someone speaks the word of God into your life, that's a miracle. That's a divine appointment. And we shrug things off like, this doesn't matter, this doesn't matter, and I'm not all about. But God does have things where he orchestrates people together, right? I remember, and I've told this story before, and Adrian's got a testimony as well, but I remember sitting in church and my grandfather, because at the time, you know, we went to church, my grandparents went with us, same church, and the pastor said, well, you know, his name is Gene. His name is Eugene, but everybody called him Gene. You know, he's been believing for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for 20 years, and right then and there, my heart sunk, and I thought, if he's got to wait 20 years for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I was like, God, I want to receive that. I want to receive more of you. And I was a kid, and I remember, it's just one of those things where you know, it's kind of like 9/11. You know where you're at when the Twin Towers came down. Those of you who are old enough to remember that. You just certain times and certain things in your life, or when the Space Shuttle Columbia, this dates me, but was it 1986 or 85 or 86? I was in junior high at the time. And it was weird because the Space Shuttle Columbia had blown up and they were giving announcements at lunchtime and they said, and by the way, the Space Shuttle Columbia blew up today and have a nice day. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. But you know exactly where you're at. Because why? Because there are certain things that are emotionally branded into you that, like Gary was just talking about, Mr. Gary talking about that experience happened. He knew exactly where he was doing, what he was why? Because that's so vivid to us. It's so vivid when God does something to us. And we'll read, and the Bible records things that happens to people certain ways, and it brands them for life. And there's certain things that are going to brand you moving forward. God wants to brand you. He wants to do something to you like never before. And so Hebrews chapter 11. Am I boring you so far?
No.
Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to do a little review, and I'm going to try to get some new stuff in tonight. But this is very important. It says, faith shows the reality. I'm reading New Living Translation, by the way. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in olden days earned a good reputation. I want to stop here a minute. And, you know, this is where some people, they think that, you know, everything's natural. Well, I don't believe in faith. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in this. How can you naturally define faith? Can you put it in a test tube? How can you measure that? How can you? And again, it all goes back to the thing that God puts in us. It's that innate design in us, like Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 through 27, 28, 29. Let us make man in our image. There are things that God has imprinted upon us that we can't explain. He's the only one that can answer it. And so, verse 2, it says, through their faith, the people in the olden days, again, earned a good reputation. Let's skip down to verse 5. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. Now, again, God's not killing people, but he took him alive, right? He was like, man, I love you so much, and Enoch loved God so much, and God's like, okay, why don't you step over on, come home with me? For before he was taken up, he was known as a person, here we go, who pleased God. We talked about this last week. Can I just say something here? And again, I mentioned it last week, but it's very important. People of faith, there's a common thread that runs through everything. It is they are pleasers of God. It's very deep. I mean, it's not something I came up with. It's the Bible. That people of faith are pleasers of God. And they are known in the Word as pleasing God, right? King David was a man after God's own heart. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. But what he was interested in doing was pleasing God, right? Because he was more interested when he stepped on the battlefield with Goliath, he was more interested in this filthy, Gentile, pagan, heathen, mocking God and coming against his covenant. He's like, who is this that you know, defies God's covenant here? Who is this individual that speaks such blaspheme? What were the other people doing? They were looking at the natural, right? Ooh, that guy's big. Man, that guy's big. Wow, he's big. And that's the same with Matthew chapter 11, that, you know, we as faith people, we talk about, Brother Hagin talks about, it says, speak unto the mountain. It doesn't say talk about the mountain. It says, speak to the mountain. What did David do? King David do? He spoke to Goliath. He didn't say, oh man, you're a big boy. I'm really scared. This is going to be an awful, terrible day. He said, no, before it's all done, I'm going to cut your head off. This is the way it's going to happen. And that's what people of faith do, right? I don't suggest go cutting people's heads off. But what I am saying is the enemy, right? We're going to define what it is. Why? Because God wants us to do something. You know, something that just pleases me as a parent, when I look at my kids and they go after something, and I don't have to prod them and do this, and you should do this, and coax them to do everything, when they just automatically take something by it and just grab a hold of it and run with it. It's like, yeah, God's like that with us too. We don't know, oh God, please, oh God, please, 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 God, please, God, please, God, please, God, please, God, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. We're begging God all the time. But the people of faith were God pleasers. And what were God pleasers? They're people that stood up in the midst of tyranny, and they stood up to the enemies of God and went after them. They didn't put up with junk, right? That's why we see people on TV and everything else too. They don't like people who have a backbone. The devil doesn't like people with backbone. The world system doesn't like people with backbone. They don't like Christians to stand up and say, no, you're wrong. This is perverted. This is evil. This is wrong. This is disgusting. We're not putting up with it. We love you, but we're not going to put up this garbage, right? All this junk that's going on. And then they come back. They don't like people with a backbone. God likes people with a backbone that's going to say, no matter what the tyranny is, I'm on God's side. God pleasers are going to go, it doesn't matter what the pressure is, what comes at me, I am still going to break through this thing, right? No matter what the persecution is, I'm on God's side, and I'm interested in pleasing God. Jesus was what? He was interested in pleasing the Father, even if it cost him his life, and it did cost him his life, but he knew, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What does that mean? I'm more interested in pleasing God and walking by faith, that I'm willing to go to the cross, give my life for God, because I am that obsessed with pleasing God. That's what turns God on. That's what perks his ears. That's what faith is. It's all about. It's about doesn't matter what comes against me, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to continue to push forward. I'm going to continue to push forward. I'm going to continue to push forward. And then eventually we'll make the devil look stupid and we'll have the victory. In verse 6, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is interested in rewarding people. The Bible is so full of rewards on the other side, right? You know, we are, because God knows that we are motivated by certain things. And God's not afraid to motivate people by gifts. You know, I was thinking about this today and I thought, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't know anybody that had money. It just didn't register to me. And, you know, my upbringing and everything, not my upbringing, but the political viewpoint that I had was anybody who had money was probably shady, right? Anybody successful, and that's wrong, right? Because people are, they're hardworking. I mean, if you work hard, you know, you should be rewarded for it. I mean, the other side, we're going to see people with rewards, right? I mean, the Bible talks about gowns of salvation and robes of righteousness, right? Those people who just get in, they get saved, and everything, God's like, oh, come on. You know, God has mercy on people. But robe of righteousness. So if you live right for God, you're going to have a robe of righteousness. God is into rewards, right? And the devil wants to make you feel bad about those things. Like, well, if you please God and he blesses you and he helps you and he does things, then there must be something wrong or something evil or anything else. Why does the world have to have money, but God's people doesn't? You know, I mean, when I grew up in church, it was a poverty mentality where, you know, I mean, it just, there was, you know, no excellence. You know, it was, everything was just real junky and it was just terrible. Now it's like, I can't stand that stuff. Throw it away. Get rid of it. Let's have nice things. Let's, you know, let's have excellence. So, verse 7, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, right? God pleaser. We can say, when we hear the word obey, we can also, that's synonymous with a God pleaser, right? He wants to make God happy. So he obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Now, again, was Noah saved? No, he wasn't. Jesus hadn't come yet. He hadn't redeemed us yet. But he was called righteous. Why was he called righteous? Because he obeyed God. Because he was walking in what he knew at the time and doing exactly. God didn't say, well, you know, I need you to go evangelize everything. I need you to do everything. No, he did what God told him to do for that time period. And think about this. Because I'm a read between the lines kind of guy. So I always like to think about it this way. What if Noah decided, no, thank you. I'm not going to build a boat. It's never rained here before. It just springs up. And this is the craziest thing ever. I'm in the middle of dry land. There is no rain. There is no nothing. This is madness. What if Noah would have said, no, thank you? What if Moses would have said, no, thank you? Right? What if King David would have said, nope, I'm not interested? What if Jesus would have said, I think I got things going on pretty good up here in heaven. I'm really not interested in going down there and doing this right now. So let me ask you this. What if you say, no, thanks anyway. I'm that's really not going to fit into my schedule. I don't have the bandwidth. Right? The bandwidth, that's the catchy word, right? I don't have the bandwidth. Well, we see here, like we talked about last week, if Abram at that time would not have obeyed God, you and I would not what? Be in where we're at now. Jesus, definitely, we are going to be in a heap of trouble. So you can see where we're a miracle in and of ourselves, but then also, too, if you think about this, if we see people that don't obey, it can affect everybody else, right? I remember Brother Hagin, you know, he should have died. He had all these, you know, blood disease and everything else, too, and all these other terrible things that were happening to him, but he decided, you know what? He got a hold of Mark 11, 22 and 23. There were no real faith preachers, because the Methodist preacher that came to his house was basically like, well, Sonny, it'll be all over with. It'll be all over. I'm sorry, but Jesus didn't come to pat me on the head and say, it'll be all over soon, and I'll see you on the other side. No. No, by his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes you were healed. That's past tense. So it's already been done. It's not like a present tense thing. It's a past tense thing. Whew. So we see Noah that went against the ridicule and everything else too, and there's so much stuff going on. I don't have time to talk about it, but what happened was there was, you know, obviously, you know, there was, read Genesis chapter 6, you'll see that there were giants in the land, there were fallen angels and all kinds of other stuff. There was weird DNA stuff, and God was like, I got to clear this out because I got to make sure Jesus' DNA come and is fully human by the time he's a sacrifice. See, the devil did several things. He's tried to pervert our DNA from the beginning. He tried to put giants in the land of Canaan to guard the land that God had given them. So, you know, he tried to kill all of the firstborn, you know, during Moses' time, and he tried to kill the sons in Jesus' time. And he's working through all of this to try to get Jesus, which was the promise of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and it says that he was going to, God said he's going to send a seed to destroy the enemy, which was Jesus eventually. So the devil's trying to pervert our DNA. He's trying to kill us off, do different things so that to divert Jesus coming. And so God had a plan because, you know, it doesn't matter. God's already like 12, 15, 800 steps ahead of the devil. You know what I'm saying? He plans things out and God's got all this stuff planned out. He knows what's going to happen and he's already got the devil defeated. Because he knew. Why do we see Noah? Because he knew Noah would obey. Why did he choose Abram? Because he knew he would obey. I'm going to read this real quick. Again, this is all a review, but I think it's important. I just feel like to review the Ezekiel 14:20. It says, though Noah, Daniel, Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver, neither son nor daughter. You want to get to this? They shall but deliver their own souls by what? Their righteousness. Their righteousness. Now, it doesn't mean that they were pure and holy or anything else. Righteousness. They were obedient. It's important. Oh, God, you know, just help me do this. How about we just be obedient, right? Like my kids. I'm not interested. Okay, I'm not interested in that. I just want you to do what I ask you to do. Yeah. You have kids in here, right? Yeah. Right? I'm not interested in your plan. I want you to do what I need you to do. Why? Because I can see things they can't see as a parent, as being down this road before. Right? I can see things. I can read people. I can see things that they don't see and they don't understand. It's not because I'm not, it's not because I'm mean. It's because I can see the end from the beginning of many situations, right? It's because I love them. Same with God. He's telling us to do certain things and to be obedient because he sees the end from the beginning. Now, what if the scenario would have been, you know, Noah, like, you know what? I really need to know what's going on here, God. Can you tell me why I'm building a boat? Can you tell me why we're going to save? Can you tell me, you know, I'm just so glad that Noah didn't go and psychoanalyze everything, right? I mean, we're going to see, you know, God, well, why, God, why do I need to do this? And why do I need to do this? And why do I need to do this? Not to say that we're not. And the Bible says, God says, let us come reason together. So God does like questions. But there's time where we just go, all right, just do it. Faith is a commitment. And we're going to look at Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Whew, I got fully lettered tonight, baby. All right. I'm usually a decaf guy, but I got the caffeine tonight. So I'll be like 2 o'clock in the morning. What was that? Right? He's sitting there, squirrel. The anointing's on pastor. Yeah, and so is the caffeine. Amen. I'm pretty convinced one of the Hebrew names of God is Jehovah Jabba. Amen. He caffeinates thee. Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, curses everyone who is hung on the tree. Though Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers, might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, while you're turning there. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. So, Christ redeemed us back then, for you to be able to understand this, the Gentiles, I'm a Gentile, I'm a dirty Gentile, back in the Old Testament, I couldn't come to the Holy Holies, I couldn't do those things because I wasn't a Jew, wasn't a Hebrew, I was a Gentile, so I was an outcast, right? I am dirty, I'm unclean. And so, what Christ did through Abraham, he now brought me into that. The Bible talks about grafted in, right? That means you are attached to something. You are now attached to another living body. You are attached to something that's grafted. I'm grafted in. You know, they talk about skin grafts. What it means, well, maybe you're burnt or something, and they take something else, some other skin, and they graft it in. What does that mean? They cut the old out and embed something new in. I'm grafted into that. And so we look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 5. It says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. You and I are going to be blessed because of Christ. Christ, what he's done is he's gone to the Old Testament. He's pulled the blessings of Abraham and he stuck them on us. Okay? He's pulled those over and he's put them on us because of this. Now, God didn't tell Abram how it's all going to work out. And he doesn't do that. Why does he not do that? Because what's going to happen is we're going to second guess things. We're going to screw. If I had to screw things up, well, let me see. I got it all planned out here and this and that and this and I coagulated this and blah, 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 blah. And I got it all figured out and this is how we're going to do it. And God's like, that's not how you're going to do it. Because this guy is going to do this, this guy's going to do this, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. That's why it's going to screw up. So I'm not going to tell you. I just need you to put one foot in front of the other. Okay? Right? Again, we got to think of Father. As our parent. He's sometimes there are just things where, when you have kids, you tell them to do things because number one, either they're not old enough to understand, you would explain it to them, they wouldn't understand, or they're not ready to understand some things. Okay? So, like for example, don't go across the street without mom or dad, right? You need to hold mom or dad's hand. When you get little kids, you can sit there and analyze, okay, honey, if you do this, and then you explain everything to them. No, just hold their hand. You don't need to explain everything to them. Just walk across the street with them. Same with God. He's not going to explain things to us. Now, at this point, again, what if Abram would have said, no, thank you. Now, let's look at it. Abram was very wealthy, right? He had servants. He had all of these things. In fact, he had so many servants that when Sodom and Gomorrah was there and some kings came in and took him and his nephew Lot was taken away captive, he rounded up his servants. He had so many servants, he went and they conquered this, basically wiped him out and then got his nephew back. So he had so many servants, he had a little mini army, right? And all kinds of cattle and everything. So Abram was doing okay, all right? Not to say he didn't need God, but he didn't need to go somewhere to be more blessed because he was blessed where he was at.
Right.
So what was the incentive for him to move forward? Well, he just obeyed God. And obviously he was more blessed. He received more things. And the whole thing too was, we see that he was basically one of the first to tithe, give to Melchizedek, right? The high priest Melchizedek. And this is something that's going to weird you out. It weirds me out, too, and I still don't understand it. Melchizedek had no lineage. So there was no father. There was no mother. He has no lineage. So where does he come from? I don't know, right? But he's the first to begin to give tithes. And, in fact, kings wanted to bless him with money. He's like, nah, I don't need your cash. I'm okay. I'm doing okay, right? Like, I need this. Let's just make sure you're taken care of. So, again, and then what he did have, he gave a tenth. So we see Abram was, his heart was with God. He wanted to support the ministry of God. So what if Abram would have said, no thanks? Well, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 would have been a waste. You and I would be in trouble. And again, it all comes back to somebody that obeyed God. You and I are reaping the benefits of this. And I just want to, stop right now. I want to pose a question to you is this. Your decisions could impact other people. Our obedience and disobedience could impact other people, right? If Abram would not have done, well, that's just Abraham, la, 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 la. No, 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 no. My Bible says that we can have a godly generation for 1,000 generations, right? We can be blessed and have, why? Because we are, when we in that seed into the next generation or people around us, we impart that to them. We impart righteousness in God's kingdom. Even just being obedient to raise up godly seed. I believe that, just like the Word says, that when you know, when we instill that Word into our kids and we instill it and we're obedient, that it will not return void. Why? Because the Word is that powerful. And so here we go, verse 4, here we go. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left. So here we've got this person, 75 years old, okay? Now, if you're in your 70s, you're still young. Right? We're not saying that. But what we are saying is back then, Abram didn't have the comfy caddy. You know, there wasn't the comfy Cadillac. You know, he didn't stop at the, you know, the Hilton with the air conditioning and the room service, right? You know, there was no DoorDash back then. Nothing like that. You know, he just couldn't text his order in. I mean, it was a hard road, right? I mean, it's like loading up camels, loading up this, loading up that, you know? I mean, you're sleeping in tents. It ain't exactly the Hilton here, right? So it's a hard journey, you know? I mean, he's getting to the age where it doesn't mean, but it's just, it was, life was harder back then, you know? You just didn't get on a plane and you're there. It was a journey. So he's got to pack up everything. He's got to pack up everything he owns. He's leaving his family. He's doing other. I mean, you know, we would lose people right there and say, well, you know, I'm sorry, I can't go. You know, I'm kind of stuck here. You know, what did Jesus say about the people that their servant that says, well, I got to bury my dad, he's like, well, bye, see ya. Let the dead bury the dead. So Abram basically forsook everything, dropped everything, and left. He took everything with him and went on. So we see here, I like to think this, Abram departed. What was it? He was a lover of God. He was obedient. He was a person of faith. He was going to obey God no matter what happened. And then we talked about this, but I think it's very important to reiterate this. Where he was going was another insight in itself, Canaan. And I read this last, but again, I think this review, I just feel like we're supposed to review this again. And then, so he went to a land basically where the devil had implanted his company. And the Canaanites, again, I want to read this, were a group of ancient people who lived in the land of Canaan, you know, basically right around where Israel is at now in the Middle East. But right around Egypt, all the way up to where Lebanon's at, kind of in that area. And they were exactly where God was instructing Abram to go, which was later going to be, again, the Hebrews or the Jewish people. And where the 12 tribes would eventually go. So again, these were heathens. These were not the nice people, you know, friendly and everything else. These were complete heathens. They hated God's people. They were not good. So we've got somebody that's leaving a comfort zone, doing great, everything's great, family's there, perfect. God's saying, cut the soul ties, leave your family, make this hard journey. Oh, you're going to go where people aren't going to like you. This does not look good at all, right? But you know what? He says, I'm going to do it. Now, Abram didn't have Kenneth Copeland. He didn't have Brother Hagin. He didn't have TBN. You know, he didn't have faith channels. He didn't have all this other stuff. He didn't have Bible. You know, he didn't have all these, you know, books to read or anything else. He had nothing to go on. Now, think about that. Nothing to go off of. He didn't have all these testimonies about all he heard, how great God was. He had nothing. He just had, God just spoke to him and said, just do this. And he said, okay. How many people would do that? I don't even know if I would have done it back then, right? I mean, you just don't know. You're thinking, I don't understand all this stuff. But God chose him. And you know what? I say today, God chose you to do certain things. There's God is choosing us in this generation, each person here, to do certain things. There is a moment in time God is saying, you need to do this, right? That doesn't mean you have to go, you know, go to where Canaan was at, and you have to do exactly. But what I am saying is there's things I believe God is calling people to do moving forward in these end times. whether that's to reach out to people, bring people in, minister to people. You know, maybe God's calling you to start a business. I don't know. You know, before ministers, you talk about it's like, well, if you're not ministry and if you're not, you know what? A business is a ministry. It can be a ministry, right? I mean, we need people to finance the gospel. I mean, I just feel like the Lord at some point, I need to go overseas again, you know? Help build some more schools, international. Help train up some more pastors, help people, right? Or, you know, we need another building. You know, we lost the other one because of COVID and a bunch of other weird stuff going on. And, you know, I mean, I just love to have it, like, for myself. It's not having money just to have money, right? I like to say this, you know, basically having money without a vision is just poverty. But if you have finances with a vision, that's prosperity. I mean, I would love to be able to just, okay, I'm just going to write out a check. Or somebody coming to, hey, pastor, I'm going to write out a check for a new building over here. I'm going to this or that, or I'm going to pay for, you know, a new mission school over here. I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do this. That's what finances are for. Amen. And I believe God's going to give people finances to be able to fund the gospel, right? And there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I'd rather people here be extremely wealthy than heathens that are doing wicked things with money. And we know the Bible says the wealth of what? The wicked is laid up for the righteous. And so, but I believe God is going to give us, like Mr. Gary was talking about Proverbs talking about wisdom. God is going to give people wisdom to do things. And what's that going to do? We're going to have to be just like Abram, just like Noah, just like where we are confident to step out and do things. I mean, you cannot believe the kind of persecution that Adrian and I have gone through in this area because people come against Spirit-filled message. It is right there. As far as, let me just show you something. And you know what? None of it deters me. None of it deters me. I just love them. I'm just like, oh, Lord, bless their darling hearts and stupid heads. We love them anyway, right? Talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the thing the devil hates so much because this is the element that empowered Christ to go and defeat and destroy the enemy, right? It was not because he's the Son of God. It was because he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and he flowed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, he just did it because he's Jesus. No, he did it because he was God. He functioned as man, and he operated through the Holy Spirit. That's very important. I want to just... because we need to know our vision. We are different than other churches, and I'm not going to back down. And we've had people before, we will talk to them, seminary students that we have talked to before, and they have said out of their mouth, I see you're right, but my head just can't let me believe it. Why is it? Because they're so religiously brainwashed that they can't release it and actually see the word. They only read what they believe in the word and not believe what they read. There's a difference there. And so I want to look at, and we'll close here in just a minute, but there's a little rabbit trail. I just feel like we need to go down here because it's very important. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and it says, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, he wasn't full of the Holy Ghost before this. This is after John the Baptist baptized with the Holy Spirit, right? We don't see anywhere in the Bible where Jesus did anything until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, we see an account of him when he was born, right? We also see where he was when he was 12 years old. He was in the temple, and they marveled over his wisdom as a little boy. Yes, there were things about Jesus that were obviously special. We knew that. But where the turning point was when the devil snapped and began to attack him like crazy was at this point. Why? Because the anointing is going to destroy the yoke. It's going to destroy the bondage. And Christ came to destroy the bondage, and the devil saw it. He's like, that's what I've been looking for all of these centuries since Genesis chapter 3. This is the one I'm after right here. And all hell broke loose when the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit came upon Christ, everything went. We see here that in Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan, was what? Was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was never led before this point, was he? Not in Scripture, we see. Verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. He was fasting, and when he was ended after that, and here we go. And the devil said unto him, so the devil showed up and tempted him. And what did the Lord do? He used the word to defeat him, right? It is written, and it is written. And then in verse 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season, right? The devil's like, I can't get through to him. I'm going to go. I'll try back later. Well, that didn't work, right? How'd that end up? Bad for him. The Bible says he made a show of him openly, right? So that means when Jesus destroyed the devil, he basically defanged him, right? He was all bark and no bite anyway. And then Jesus paraded him, right, around the spiritual realm. Yeah, da 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 da. And in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord, he's reading out of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. What does anointing mean? The Holy Spirit come upon me, right? In the Old Testament, it was pouring oil on you, but that was symbolic of the Holy Spirit coming upon him. So they didn't have, the Holy Spirit came upon three people in the Old Testament, the prophet, the priest, and the king. All the rest of us are left out. So we weren't able to have that. And it was only for a function of an office at that time in the Old Testament. But now we can have it at any time, that anointing. And that anointing, so it says the anointing. Christ says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. The Holy Spirit is upon me to what? To preach the gospel to the poor, right? To set, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach them acceptable year of the Lord. So what he's sitting there saying, I am coming to destroy the devil. Everything, he made a public announcement there. He says, I am coming to destroy every work of the devil is really what he was saying. And then from that point, they tried to throw him off a cliff head first. And what did he do supernaturally? They were frozen and he walked right between them. Jesus just stirred up the hornet's nest, but he was about to run it through the meat grinder because of the Holy Spirit. And we see somebody that was ready to do what God, he was a lover of God, obviously the Father, Jesus was, and he's willing to obey, and Jesus is the ultimate example of obedience. And when you obey, it's never going to be easy, is it? It's never going to be easy. But it's rewarding, though, right? But anything in life, that's just common anything in life. If it's worthwhile, it's never going to be easy, right? Hey, I got a college degree. They were giving them out over here, and I just sent an email, and they just emailed me a diploma. And, well, there's nothing in that, right? No, but it's when you believe God, that's the adventure. You know, when people around you are naysayers, and you still do it anyway because you know on your heart that God is leading you to do something, or, again, stand up for God in righteousness. It's going to come a day. We're going to see, I believe, in the near future, we're going to see where Christianity is going to be cool because God is going to show up and it's going to be everywhere because we see it in the Word in the book of Acts. In the end times, he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. You and I are flesh, all flesh. We're going to see things. And you know what? When I've, in order to say this, you know, I've had people that are naysayers and then God shows up and does things. And then, how do you explain a miracle? That's why they hated Jesus so much, was because when the Holy Spirit showed up and we see healings and we see people, the blind, people lame walk, God, you know, Jesus starts delivering people. How can you argue against the supernatural? You can't argue against a miracle. It's like, well, you weren't walking, but now you are walking. So how are you going to argue about that, right? Well, I was blind, I couldn't see, but now I can see fine because of Jesus, right? So again, you can't argue a miracle. You can argue doctrine all day long, but if I jump out of a wheelchair or I have an arm grow out or whatever, there's no argument. It's like it either is or isn't. We're going to see those days. And I believe they're right now. Amen? Why? Because it's people who are willing to do things and believe things. And what is believe? Believe is loving God and obeying Him and doing what He wants us to do. Even in the midst of persecution. And we see here, thank God for that. And I just want to look at Numbers chapter. I know we're going a little late. Can you just stay with me for a couple more minutes? Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And we're seeing here that 25, starting in 25, actually I'll just kind of condense this real quick. This is the Hebrews are coming out of, they came out of Egypt. They had this amazing Red Sea experience. And, you know, Pharaoh's army was wiped out. And man, everything's just totally awesome. And they're heading towards the promised land. They had the 12 spies that came back. Two of them are mentioned in the Bible as heroes because they're the ones that had faith. We don't hear about the other 10, right? I don't hear anything about the other 10. Who are the two? There were Joshua and Caleb, the two that came back and says, yes, we can take the land. They were talking about the giants. Verse 33, we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. Were they grasshoppers? No, they're giving their doubtful perspective on the situation. And you know how they're not, God's not interested in our opinion a lot. They're giving their opinion. What we perceive, we're like grasshoppers. Did you have a conversation with them? Did you sit down with coffee and tea and strumpets and talk this over? No, you're just running to conclusions. That's what people who don't have faith, they're running to conclusions, right? Well, if I go there and I get baptized in the Holy Spirit, well, I've heard that speaking in tongues is of the devil. Well, I've heard this. When have you ever seen anybody in the Bible that's demon-possessed that spoke in tongues? Not one time. Every time in the book of Acts, you see people, when they spoke in tongues, people were set free, delivered in the Holy Spirit. It is a byproduct of a person, which is the Holy Spirit. Well, we even saw giants there and the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And oh, that's what they thought too. Did you talk to them? They didn't. They're just making stuff up. And God is what is going on with these people? Then we see here in chapter 14, verse 1, it says, then the whole community began weeping out loud over a lie. These are lies. And they cried all night, boo, hoo, hoo. What if Noah would have had the same reaction? God, I can't do it. Build a boat that big. I mean, fit giraffes and elephants and all kinds of other stuff. I can't do that. That's impossible. And here we go. This is ridiculous. If only we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Can I just say this as we close? How many people have this attitude around you or you've heard about the COVID? Oh my gosh, it's all over. The economy is destroyed. Everything's awful. And then, if you got, you know, people who got COVID and it's just automatically a death sentence. Now, some people have died from it, but people have died from the flu, right? People have died from other things, but all of a sudden, this is supposed to be the big wow. Why? Because you were told it was the big wow. Because the news and the media told you that everybody's going to be wiped out because of the COVID, right? It's the 10 spies, right? The CNNs, the Fox News, other lions, garbage networks on there that are telling you lies. That's not what the word says, right? COVID is not a death sentence. Bystraps were healed. Amen. Sorry if that offends you, but it's not a death sentence, right? Yes, I've known people that have died from it, but it's because of other things, right? I don't want to go into that, but my point is this, that how many people have been scared the last 2 years over the 10 spies that gave the negative report, right? And there's agendas for that. There's reasons for that. But we will say this, that I'd rather be with Caleb and Joshua, right? I'd rather be King David. I'd rather be with these other people because I'm a lover of God and I want to obey Him. Love God, obedience, righteousness, all of these words are synonymous, right? Because they're doing something for God. Commands us to do things, and we say, yes, sir, we're going to do it. You know what? And it, even when it means, and it doesn't mean we have to go on this big pilgrimage and, you know, go to Africa or you know, go here, and we have to do all this stuff and start to school and everything. But what it does mean, it just means standing against what our feelings, the world, our situations, the propaganda that's coming at us, because again, the Bible says that the world system is the devil. He is controlling the world system, right? Mm-hmm. He is the little g, God of this world. What is he doing? He's influencing things around us. And what we have to do, we have to shut him out. We have to say, nope, I'm a child of God. This does not apply to me at all, right? Because we see that sickness and disease was its curse, but it originally was from the Egyptians, people who hated God. It was placed on people. People received it upon themselves because they hated God. I don't hate God, do you? No, I'm redeemed from those things, and so are you. Father, we thank you so much for this time together. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. There's just freedom in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Freedom in His Word tonight. Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Nobody, and just as we close here, if you've never, ever made Jesus the Lord of your life, never made Him the Lord of your life, nobody, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to make a declaration tonight. We want to pray with you. Amen? If you've never made that decision, or you've never received the person, the Holy Spirit, see, Jesus, there's two experiences here. Well, there's more than two, but two primary experiences. It is when we're born again. We see 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We are new creatures. Why? Because God puts His nature on the inside of us. We are recreated in the image of Him. We are renewed on the inside. That's a born-again experience. Jesus said, if you're not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said that. If we're not born again, what's that mean? You are making Jesus Lord of your life. You are receiving His life into you. It's not hard. The other thing is, Jesus said that you would receive, told His disciples, later became apostles in the book of Acts, to wait in Jerusalem, and there was this power that was going to come upon them to do the work of the ministry. See, when we're born again, our nature changes. We have the nature of love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. All of those things are in that we receive when we're born again. That God kind of nature is in us. The old nature goes out. The new nature takes over. Then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit comes upon us. It empowers us to do the work of the ministry. That's where we see Peter, who denied Jesus three times, when he was going to the cross, and then we see right after that that he gets thousands of people born again in the streets. He's preaching from the... Why is it? What's the difference? It's because he went from... obviously he got born again in the process, but he went from that over to being empowered with the Holy Spirit. I just like to think of it this way. For so many years, it's like being born again but not having the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's like washing your feet with your socks on. You're always trying to do good things, but it just doesn't seem right. You're never quite getting there without the Holy Spirit. And if that's you, you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to raise your hand. You need to receive this. It's something you really, really need to impact it. It impacted my Bible reading. It impacted my prayer time. And it impacted my entire life. And so we always want to pray with people. Father, we glorify you. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys have a great week. Amen. You're a blessing. I know we went late, but hallelujah.